Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing new programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, comedy from two greats. Later on, we'll hear the Jack Benny program, but right now it's Bob Hope with musician and composer Johnny Mercer. A special guest, this NBC broadcast first heard on June 15th, 1943.
Please, no shilling, please. I have to lift now to lay an egg. Well, we celebrated I'm an American Day Sunday at the Hollywood Bowl. It was really crowded. It was so jammed coming in the gate, some guy picked his own pocket three times. Anyway, I broke even. And the bowl was filled with loyal Californians. Not a raincoat in the place. A loyal Californian, that's a guy who watches his house float down Laurel Canyon, then says, I wish Sidney Greenstreet would stop swimming in the reservoir. But it was a wonderful affair, and I really love America. Where else in the world could I have graduated from college when I was 22, worked in vaudeville for 10 years, and musical comedies for 10 years, then 8 years for Paramount, and still be 29? Yes, sir, this country is really the land of opportunity. Just look at Sinatra and Crosby. Where else could a piece of spaghetti and a meatball both wind up with so much gravy? And there isn't anything like Sinatra anywhere else in the world. But it's wonderful how the country is saving bread. This morning, my electric toaster just popped the bread out long enough for one bite, then snapped it back in again. The bread shortage is getting bad in Hollywood. In fact, I passed Nelson Eddy's house today, and he was singing Shortening Crumb. I went to one of Vandy Camp's bakeries today, and after standing in line for 2 hours, I turned to the guy behind me and said, it's awful, isn't it? He said, what are you yelling about? I'm Van, and DeCamp is three people behind me. That's a local bakery out here, Nation. I tried whipping up a loaf of bread myself this morning, but I guess I put in too much yeast. I gave a slice to Crosby, and it evened him up. Now he's got lead in front, too. My aunt sent over a loaf of bread that she had baked, and she called it Rhodiotopia bread, something soft in the middle and heels on each side. I thought more people saw the picture than that. And I didn't have any chocolate, so I made the icing on my bread out of Ovaltine. It worked fine, except when I took the cake out of the oven, it was snoring. Don't let that give you any ideas. And while I was baking, I put on a white cap and an apron, and just then the doorbell rang. If the Fuller Brush Man from North Hollywood is listening in tonight, call at my office, and I'll give him back his ring and nylon.
By day. You're making all my dreams come true. So come what may, I want you to know I'm yours alone, and I'm in love.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a message to deliver to someone out there on the airwaves. This is from Daisy May.
Little Abner, don't marry that girl, even though she's nice as she can be. When you don't say nothing ever, will she make believe you clever, like, for instance, me? Little Abner, don't marry that girl, even though you have that license fee. Would she put up with your yawning and not hate you in the morning, like, for instance, me? Why take a chance on a new love? Best for your gal you don't know. Come back to me and your true love and the folks who miss you so. Little Abner, don't marry the girl. Don't make my love for you a mockery. Though it sounds like foolish hokum, there's just one girl raked the yoakum, and that girl is me.
Yeah. Well, little Abner, here's that. That was Skinny Ennis, ladies and gentlemen, the man who plays the part of the railing in the spiral staircase. Singing Don't Marry That Gal, dedicated to Tommy Manville, and inspired... At it, save it, and inspired by the comic strip Little Abner. Daisy May will love that skin. Yeah, I hope Ab is listening. Hey, do you like the comic strip?
Yeah, boy. The things those characters can do with bubblegum.
Bubblegum? Skinny, that's the reading. That part. Are you kidding?
Isn't that awful?
Bubblegum. Oh, you're kidding. Good old skin. With him, it isn't the postman. It's Pierce Brothers who ring twice.
Well, look who's here. Well, Abner Manville.
Hello, Bob.
Well, you're looking lovely tonight, Frances. How was your trip to Chicago for the I'm an American rally?
Wonderful, Bob.
Say, well, while you were in Chicago, did you see our sponsors?
Well, yes, I did, Bob. And he gave me a message to deliver to you, but my lips are chapped.
She couldn't mean... Yes, I guess.
Say, Bob, you were master of ceremonies of the I'm an American Day here at Hollywood Bowl, weren't you?
That's right, Frances, and it was really wonderful. Well, I got as much applause as if I'd been Lana Turner.
I know, Bob, but weren't you chilling in that white bathing suit?
No, my blonde wig kept me warm.
It must have been quite...
My blonde wig kept me warm. That's all right. Just wanted to see if you left. That's all right.
It must have been quite a spectacle. How was the crowd at the bowl, Bob?
Oh, great, Frances. They were eating right out of my hand.
Oh, Lassie was there, too.
I'll ignore that, but I love America, the land of the free and the home of those lucky enough to find one.
Thank you, tourists. Thank you.
You know, Bob, we sure owe a lot to the men that first settled this country. They really had the spirit of adventure.
Yeah, they certainly did. Columbus, the first to sail the ocean. Daniel Boone, the first to fight the Indians. And John Smith, the first to register in a hotel. Say! And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce a young man who is famous wherever swing is swung and wherever jukebox is juke. I can't tell you the song hits he's written because this is only a half-hour program, but here he is, Mr. Scat himself. The one-man hit parade, Johnny Mercer, right here.
Thanks, Bob, and thanks, all you cats.
Well, Johnny, pull up a cement mixer and rest your putty-putty.
That was a nice introduction, Bob.
Gee, you say such nice things, how can I repay you?
Well, you know the expression, I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
Okay, but DDT is much quicker.
Well, how you feeling, Johnny?
Man, I'm strictly solid and mellow Rooney, Jackson. I'm Mac Vout and Groove O'Reezy on the bounce of roots. Do you dig me?
Dig you? I can't even lift a shovel. Well, tell me, have you written any new song hits? I haven't had my radio on since noon, John. How are you doing, anyway? Tell us, John, how many songs have you written, anyway?
Oh, about 500.
Gee, you've been through more bars than Ray Milland. You wrote, you wrote Jamboree Jones, didn't you?
Well, I can only take credit for the lyrics on that song, Bob.
Yeah, well, who gets credit for the tune?
The cat that I slammed the door on.
Yes, sir. Well, John, I hear you're just in from Broadway. What were you doing back east?
Well, I engaged in the multifarious activities related to
it's
the...
It's supposed to sound like you're
it
just
is.
Saying well, it. You know what I mean?
Can I try it one more
yeah,
time?
Think it up again, John.
I engaged in the multifarious...
Just let it pour out, John. That's all right.
I engaged in the multifarious activities related to the creation of the dissemination of mellifluous sound.
We were going to get Joe Frisco, but he can't write songs, you know. What was that last word?
I said the creation and dissemination of mellifluous sound.
And they cut me off last week when I said Wise Carver. How do you like it? Say, they tell me you and Harold Arlen have a lot of hits in a Broadway musical.
Thanks, Bob. The show is called St. Louis Woman.
I didn't ask you the name. But it's a good plug anyway. What's St. Louis Woman about, John?
It's about a woman in St. Louis.
Isn't that tricky? Gee, you've really got your finger in a lot of pies, Johnny. How's that recording company of yours coming
along? Oh, just fine, Bob. And by the way, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for letting Capitol publish the Bob Hope album of monologues from service camp shows.
Slower.
Yeah. Soon to be on sale at all music stores at reasonable rates with a special introductory offer with each purchase.
Oh, John, please, you didn't have to say that.
You mean we wasted all that time at rehearsal? Really wasted some, too, didn't we?
Well,
but seriously, Bob, they're really great. We made recordings of all your shows at military camps during the war, and we're putting them out as the Bob Hope I Never Left Home album.
Oh, that's great, John. But one thing bothers me. How come you didn't put my picture on the front of the album?
Well, there was a reason for that, Bob.
A reason?
Yeah, well, that nose of yours, we thought the people would think we were giving away free needles.
Funny how well you read the dirty lines. Well, I don't care. It comes in handy when I'm dialing the phone in a hurry anyway. Well, thanks for dropping in, Johnny, and I hope you sell a lot of the albums. I really think those recordings of our shows during the war are going to do a lot of good.
They sure will, Bob. I've listened to them, and I can't think of a better argument for trying to hang on to the piece.
Thank you, Johnny Mercer. Stick around. We're going to talk about your hometown. Thank you. Here comes Francis Ice. Frances singing a number she's going to sing at the police show at the Shrine Auditorium. When is it? 29th, 30th, and 31st?
Yes.
I'm going to get rid of that ticket.
Full moon of my one.
we shall part. And next full moon, if my one wish comes true, my empty arms will be filled with you.
Like to go down and see your home there.
Well, latch on, man. Let's go. What do you think we got a sound man for? Well, Bob, here we are in Savannah, GA, at my plantation.
You think the Constellation is jealous? So this is Savannah.
Yep, the deep suit where I spent my youth and cut my first eye tooth.
That's enough. You can write your songs on your own time, if you don't mind.
It's a real southern plantation, Bob.
How's that, John?
Well, look out front. Senator Claghorn's cutting the lawn.
That is. And it looks like mighty nice country, John.
It sure is, Bob. It's mint julep land. You know what a mint julep is?
Of course. That's a 7-Up where you keep going up. Hey, John. Is that a real haystack over there? Oh, I should have known there wasn't any truth to those billboards.
Here comes my plantation manager.
Yes, sir.
Whoa, 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 whoa! You all?
Used to belong to Stonewall Jackson.
Colonna, are you working on this cotton plantation?
That's right, Hope J. Peachtree Colonna, old southern colonel, mint julep guzzler, and all-around jolly good fellow.
Also, Yankees, drugs, slugs, slugs, while you wait.
Well, well, Colonna, see, you're an overseer.
No, I wasn't even drafted.
Colonna, you've got cotton on your brain.
Yes, government won't let us build warehouses.
Well, is this a big plantation, Colonna?
Well, I've got 2,000 men working for me.
Yeah, well, Colonna, what about girls?
Pardon?
I said, what about girls?
Yeah, your father still hasn't told you? Well, here's a particularly interesting patch of cotton, Hope.
Just like... Well, Colonna, why is the cotton making that funny noise?
Use it for cannon towels.
Colonna, just close in. Tell me, can an imbecile lead a happy life?
I certainly, Hope. Try not to brood so much. So here comes the automatic cotton picker, Hope. It sucks in all the cotton from 100 yards around.
Sucks in all the cotton from 100 yards around.
Yes. Well, I'll buy you a new suit.
Hey, Bob, come on in the house. Would you like a little southern hospitality?
Sure would. Blonde or brunette?
Hello. Is anybody home?
Is that you, old John?
No, there's two of us. Two of us, I say. I want you to meet my sisters, Bob. Bob, this is Trudy Bell, the flower of the South. And this is the Francie Bell.
Well, Francie
well,
Bell.
Howdy, Mr. Holmes, mm-hmm. Honey, sugar lamb. Sit down here beside me, sweet boy, honey doll.
Well, Johnny, does she always talk like this?
No, Bob, after she knows you better, she may get to like you.
Gee, I'd like to go out with someone tonight.
Well, I'd like to go out with someone tonight, too. I guess we're in the same mood.
Yes, too bad we're on in the same generation.
Well, I'm not so old. Why, just a few years ago, I was crawling.
How wonderful. Can you do it now?
You want me to crawl now?
Yes, I'd love to hear your tail rattle.
Hey, Bob, look. Here comes my father. Hey, Pa, I brought home a Yankee for dinner.
Good, son. I hope he's tender.
Well, how are things going on the plantation, Pa?
Son, we got trouble. Somebody's stealing all the cotton around the place.
Somebody's stealing all the cotton around the place.
Yes, sir.
Is it bad, Pa?
Is it bad? This morning I woke up, my shorts was gone. This thief comes around every night.
Say, I have an idea. Tonight we'll hide behind a tree and find out who the culprit is.
Gee, that sounds exciting. We'll all go with you.
I hear somebody coming. It's Colonna. He's walking through the field.
My father's on the other side. I'll give the signal and we'll close in on him. Woo!
Yeah, it must be an owl drugstore around here.
Look, Colonna's going that way. Let's follow
him. Wonder if I should signal when I turn left.
Dark here in the woods. Oh, somebody kissed me behind the ear.
And someone kissed me behind the ear.
And someone kissed me behind the ear.
Dad, I wondered how I got the chewing gum in my mustache.
Okay, Colonna, stick him up. We got you covered.
Stick him up? You got me covered? Dad, well, listen, I'm just standing here peaceably waiting for the mailman. I'm expecting a letter.
You're expecting a letter, Colonna? It's midnight.
Naturally, it's a night letter.
Professor, why have you been coming out here every night and stealing my cotton?
Money. I had $100,000 last month, but I spent it all.
Colonna, how could you spend $100,000 so fast?
Well, didn't find out for too late that the wristwatch was glued to the bottom of the iron claw machine.
Well, Colonna, you better give yourself up. We got you surrounded and you haven't got a chance.
You mean you haven't got a chance? I'm armed with 3 Tommy guns and 6 cases of hand grenades.
Yeah, well, we got 6 bazookas, 3 flamethrowers, and a medium tank. We'll see who comes out on top. We're letting you have it.
settles the war surplus problem, doesn't it?
Lyrics, Bob.
Bob Hope on Tuned to Yesterday from June 15th, 1943 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. That last broadcast with Bob Hope from 1943, he was joined by Jack Benny and two special broadcasts for radio in that year, Soldiers in Grease Paint in November, a Thanksgiving salute to the USO, and an Armed Forces Radio Service show, Command Performance, and a special hour-and-a-half-long show for the troops serving overseas during the Second World War. Now we'll hear Jack Benny later in his comedy career on radio from October 28, 1951, with guests Ronald and Benita Coleman on NBC.
The Jack Benny Program. Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out to Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills. It's morning, and Rochester is running the bath.
Boss.
Yes, Rochester.
The tub is ready.
Yeah, I hope the water isn't too hot.
Oh, no, it's just right. I tested it with my elbow.
Did you put in the lavender bath salts like I told you to?
Oh, yes, a whole box. And also two packages of that stuff that makes bubbles.
Good, good. Come on, Polly, your bath is ready. Oh, for heaven's sakes, we go through this every time. Come on now, Polly, you've got to take your bath. Now, Daddy had Rochester put lavender bath salts in it.
And that stuff that makes millions of bubbles.
Well, what do you say? Well, that does it. Rochester, pick up the cage and bring it in the bathroom.
Yes, sir.
Now, Polly, look, set the cage up on the sink, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
Now, Polly, Daddy, you'll open the little door and you dive right in the tub. Polly, stop whimpering and dive already. I can't understand it. I thought, sure, Polly was over her fear of water.
Yeah, especially after all that money you spent taking her to the psychiatrist.
Cost me a fortune. I took Polly to that psychiatrist's office every afternoon for 2 weeks. Maybe I shouldn't have stopped her treatment so soon.
Well, why did you?
I had to. Nothing looks sillier than a parrot lying on a couch. Now, look, Polly. Daddy isn't angry at you. He just wants you to get...
Quick, boss, open the cage. Polly wants to get into the tub.
Well, what brought that about?
I threw a rubber duck in the water.
A rubber duck? Polly!
Let her in quick, boss. Let her in quick before she finds out it's a decoy.
Okay, Polly, okay. Here we go. You stay here and finish bathing Polly, Rochester. I'll get the door. When you say da-da-da-da-dum, da-dee-da-da-da-dum. See, that song I wrote can't miss. Coming.
Well, hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Dennis. Come on in.
Mr. Benny, what took you so long to answer the door?
Oh, Rochester and I were bathing Polly.
Gee, not in the bathtub again.
Why not?
Last time you gave Polly a bath, you pulled the plug, she went down the drain and came out at El Segundo.
Yeah, the psychiatrist said that's what gave her the fear of water, you know. Anyway, Dennis, I'm glad you dropped by because I want to get your opinion on something.
Yeah, yeah, what?
Well, I've been looking over my song this morning, and I thought I'd make a little change. I wanted to be perfect.
Your song?
Yes, just listen to the changes I have in mind, and tell me what you think.
Okay.
Good. The music is right here on the...
What's the matter?
My song, it isn't on the piano. Every time Rochester cleans in here, I can't find anything. Now, where's my song?
Did you look in the garbage disposal?
Don't be funny.
Are you sure your song was here this morning?
I'm positive. I worked on it about an hour. I remember. It was just before I read the Sunday paper. Oh, Rochester!
Yes, boss?
Come here a minute. I can't find my song. Do you know where it is?
No, sir.
Well, think back. What did you do this morning?
Well, I cooked breakfast, washed the dishes, cleaned the living room, and after you finished reading the Sunday paper, I put it back on Mr. Coleman's porch.
Yes?
Then I came back and helped you bathe Polly.
Gee, I can't understand it.
Well, I better go now.
Now, wait a minute, Dennis. As long as you dropped in, let's hear the song you're going to do on the program. What's it going to be?
Well, it's called Never, and it's from a picture I just finished at 20th Century Fox, produced by Georgie Jessel.
Oh, what's the name of it?
Golden Girl.
Golden Girl, eh? And you're in it.
Uh-huh.
What part do you play?
I don't know. I haven't seen the picture yet.
Dennis, just sing, will you please?
Oh, okay. My love is deep as the sea that flows forever. You ask me when will it end? I tell you never. That shines forever. You ask me when will it fade? I tell you never. The world may disappear like a castle of sand, but I'll be waiting.
Very good, Dennis. Excellent. In fact, your voice is getting better and better all the time. And you know, someday when you look at your paycheck, you may find a nice, substantial...
Words, promises, double talk.
What? Dennis. What? What did you say?
Oh, nothing. I swallowed my gum.
Oh. Well, Dennis, the next time I... Oh, Rochester! Never mind. I'll get it in the den. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny. This is Mr. Kitzel.
Oh, Mr. Kitzel. Well, Mr. Kitzel, it's nice to hear from you.
Thank you, Mr. Benny. The reason I called, I'd like to invite you to a Halloween party at my house.
Oh, I'll be glad to come, Mr. Kitzel. Seems like you give a party every Halloween.
Oh, yes. To me, this is a day of great sentiment. Ah. It was by a Halloween party that I first met my wife.
Really?
Yeah, she came as a witch.
A witch?
Yeah.
Oh, a costume party.
No.
Mr. Kitzel, you mean...
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh.
Other girls have a dowry. She had a broom.
A broom? Mr. Kitzel, you're joking.
Yeah. My.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Mr. Kitzel. I'll see you Wednesday night.
Good, but don't come too early. You see, as soon as it gets dark, I'm taking my little boy around the neighborhood to play trick or treat.
Oh, that's cute. Why don't you bring him over here, too?
No, thank you. To that richy neighborhood, I'll never let him go again.
Why not?
Last Halloween, he went to Beverly Hills, played trick or treat, and he got so much stuff, I couldn't pay the tax on it.
Oh, well, all right. I'll be over at your house at 9 o'clock. Goodbye, Mr. Kitzel.
Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye. Dennis, I was just talking to... Oh, hello, Phil. When'd you come in?
Just a minute ago. Hey, Jackson, that wasn't Alice on the phone, was it?
No.
Look, if Alice calls, don't tell her you saw me.
Why? Why, what's the matter?
I want to lay low till she cools off.
No kidding, Phil. Are you in trouble?
Believe me, Jackson, if I didn't need the money, I wouldn't have done it.
Phil, what did you do?
I played gin rummy with my kids and won $40.
You won $40 playing gin rummy with your children?
With a couple of pigeons I'm raising.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Phil, let me...
Uh-oh. Hey, Jackson, if that's Alice, tell her I ain't yet been here no time today.
You ain't yet been here no time today?
Yeah, tell her.
I will, Phil. I may phrase it differently, but I'll tell her. Coming.
Oh, hello, Jack.
Hello, Don. Well, you've got the sportsman with you, too. Come on in, fellas.
Oh, Jack, there's something I want to talk to you about.
Well, if it's about Phil, he ain't yet been here no time today. You all.
Now, what's that?
I don't know. Words, double talk. What do you want, Don?
Oh, Jack, you're going to love this. Now, you're just going to love it. The quartet wants to do a commercial to that song you wrote. So, if you'll just give us a copy, the boys will show you what they have in mind.
Oh, that's wonderful, Don, but this is a fine time for it to happen.
Why?
I lost my song. I can't find it anywhere. It's the only copy I've got. Dennis, are you looking for my song?
No.
Then what are you doing?
I'm still trying to figure out what Phil said.
Forget it. Gee, Don, that is a shame.
Oh, it certainly is, Jack. But if you haven't got the music, the boys will just have to do something else.
I guess so. What else have they got?
Well, here's one I think you might like. Sing it, boys.
Some men plow the open plain, some men sail the brine, but I'm in love with a pretty maid, for work I have no time. I truly, truly fair, truly, truly fair, how I love my truly fair. There's songs to sing her, trinkets to bring her, flowers for her golden hair.
Some men work the livelong day just for bread and wine, but all we do is sing about those lucky strikes of mine.
Oh, lucky strike, good old lucky strike, truly it's beyond compare. When light a lucky upon a lucky, there's no better anywhere.
Once we sailed from Boston Bay, bound for Singapore, but we forgot our lucky strike, so we swam back to shore.
Oh, lucky, lucky strike, good old lucky strike, truly better tasting too. So listen, brother, there is no other cigarette as good as true. LSMFT, LSMFT, LSLSMFT. Misled by other claims you have read, just buy a good old lucky, try a good old lucky, you will like a lucky strike.
on, and as soon as I find my song, I'll let you know and they can work on it.
Okay, Jack. See you later. Come on, fellas.
How do you like that, Phil? The quartet wants to do my song and I can't find it.
Why don't you forget about being a songwriter, Jackson? Ain't it enough that the Maybelline Company named you Blue Eyes of 1951?
What?
That's what it said in this morning's paper.
Today's paper? Well, this I have to... Oh, darn it. Rochester's already put the Sunday paper back on the Coleman's porch.
Ronnie! Oh, Ronnie, where are you?
I'm here in the den, Benita.
Playing a little solitaire, huh?
Yes, and I've almost got it beat, too.
Well, you won't finish it.
Well, you said the same thing last night, and you were right. How did you know?
The Queen of Spades is missing. You'll find a new deck of cards in the...
I beg your pardon, Mr. Coleman.
Yes, Sherwood?
I brought in the Sunday paper.
Oh, thank you. Well, now, let's see what's new. Benita, look at this. I was right.
What?
You wouldn't agree with me when I predicted both these things last week. But I was right all the time.
Well, right about what?
That Churchill would be elected and Dick Tracy would find Bonnie Bread. I wonder what's in the... Hello, what's this?
What's what?
A sheet of music just fell out of the paper.
Oh, a sheet of music?
Yes, let me see. It's a song by Jack Benny.
Jack Benny wrote a song?
So it seems.
What's the name of it?
When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you.
Oh, I say, now, really?
Yes. Yes, I'm afraid, really. Listen to this. When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you. When you ask me to forgive you, I'll return. Like the swallows at Serrano, return to Capistrano. For you, my heart...
Ronnie?
Yes?
I'm not sure I heard correctly. Was that like the swallows at Serrano, return to Capistrano?
That's what he wrote. That's what the man wrote. He wrote that. And then it goes... if you say that you are sorry, then I will understand. Neath the harvest moon, we'll pledge our love anew.
Ronnie, you're joking.
Anita, I was never more serious or more nauseated in my life. Listen to the rest of it. So, my darling, though we've parted, come back to whence we started.
Whence?
Yes, Jack has a footnote on the bottom saying, yes, whence it's the poetic form of where. Now, just let me finish this. So, my darling, though we've parted, come back to whence we started, and sweetheart, then I'll come back to you. This is the lousiest thing I've ever heard.
Ronnie, please, you have to use that kind of language.
What else can I say about it?
Well, you still don't have to use that kind of language. You can say it's the most awful thing you ever heard.
Well, darling, this is not the most awful thing I ever heard. This is the lousiest thing I ever heard.
Ronnie.
Well, imagine so, my darling, though we've parted, come back to whence we started. I wish he'd bring our lawnmower back from whence he got it. Well, that man has borrowed everything. The lawnmower, the ping-pong table, the garden hose, the vacuum cleaner.
And the Queen of Spades.
Oh, so that's where it went.
Uh-huh.
Benita, why in the name of Eli Culbertson would Benny borrow just one card?
Well, it was missing from his deck, and he explained how. You see... he was doing a card trick. Dennis Day picked the Queen of Spades. Mr. Benny told him to put it where he couldn't see it. So Dennis ate it.
Dennis Day. I have a great affection for that lad. I understand he drives Benny crazy.
But you know, darling, there's one thing that's rather amazing about Jack.
Oh, what's that?
Well, with all the things he's taken from us through the years, not once has he tried to borrow any money.
Well, darling, money is the one thing he doesn't use.
He doesn't use it? But what does he do with his money?
Well, he gets it, counts it, caresses it, and buries it. Sometimes that Benny gets me so mad that...
I beg your pardon, sir.
Yes, what is it, Sherwood?
If I'm not intruding, I'd like to say something about Mr. Benny's borrowing...
The floor is yours. With this subject, the more the merrier.
Well, do you remember in September when he gave that big party at his house and came over and borrowed me?
Oh, yes, Sherwood. You never did tell us about that party. What happened?
Well, it was a rather interesting experience, especially serving dinner to Dennis Day. For dessert, he insisted on pie a la mode. Imagine pie a la mode.
But that's not so odd, Sherwood. Here in America, lots of people have ice cream on their pie.
On chicken pot pie? Strangely enough, that was all he ate.
Well, he probably wasn't hungry after eating the Queen of Spades.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Oh, it's nothing, Sherwood. What else happened at the party?
Well, as the evening wore on, they played charades and 20 questions. And then about midnight, they all formed a circle around Phil Harris.
Oh? What sort of game was that?
No game. They were just trying to determine whether or not he was dead. Will you be needing me any further, sir?
No, thank you, Sherwood. You may go.
Thank you.
What are you doing, Benita?
I'm just looking at the theatrical section. They got some good pictures showing. Would you like to go?
Oh, no, dear. I don't feel like going out, no.
Okay. One of the neighborhood theaters is showing a revival of one of your pictures.
Where?
I would like to go to the movies. The theater on the corner has a double feature.
All right, then, let's go.
Well, good. And, Ronnie, since we'll be passing Jack's house, let's return his song to him.
Oh, yes. I'll get the car out.
But, no, let's walk to the theater. The fresh air will do us good.
Yes, and it won't hurt his song any either. Come on.
Well, Ronnie, don't just stand there. Ring the doorbell.
Oh, all right.
Yes, what? Ronnie, Benita, I'm so glad to see you. Come on in.
Jack, we didn't intend to drop in on you.
Now, don't bother apologizing. Come on in.
No, but we only dropped by to... Stop pulling!
I'm sorry.
Jack, we only wanted to return your song. We found it in our morning paper.
My song? So that's where it was. Thank you ever so much, Benita. I'm so glad to get it back.
Why?
What?
Ronnie.
Oh, yes. Yes, I imagine you would be glad to get it back.
Well, I sure am.
Well, Jack, we have to be running along.
No, Ronnie, now, don't go yet.
But, Jack, we were on our way to see it.
I won't take no for an answer. Now, you must come in and visit. After all, I haven't seen you for so long.
So long.
Gee, he must have thought I was saying goodbye. I hope they didn't think I was trying to get rid of them. Well, anyway, I got my song back. When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you. When you ask me to...
Well, we're lucky, Benita. We got in at the movies just at the break.
Yes, and the newsreel is just starting.
And now for some personalities in the news. We take you first to Beverly Hills, to the home of a well-known star who has written a song.
When you say I beg your pardon.
Oh, no, no, no. Well, come
then
on,
I'll come back to you.
Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman, and we heard on their own program, The Halls of Ivy. This is Don Wilson reminding you to listen to your hit parade with Guy Lombardo every Thursday night. Consult your newspaper for time and station.
Jack Benny on Tuned to Yesterday from October 28, 1951 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.